And we'll shrink that. And then we'll put up the study, and we're ready for the last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Shabbat Shalom. My wife is she's ready today. We are one of Messiah congregation. Supposed to be Kahal Chad Ben Mashiach. Somehow this got backwards. Anyway, we're just a little piece of the Israel of God, Adat Yisrael. Sometimes the Hebrew gets backwards when you make a word pad for some reason. But anyway, let's pray and ask God to bless and anoint, and we'll be forward. Heavenly Father, Lord and God, Master, Creator of the universe and beyond, and more things we can even imagine that you created, Father. We ask you first to forgive us for any sin. Have mercy upon every one of us. Anything that we do that will displease you, Father, and we know we're just dust, and you know we're just dust, Father. Have mercy upon us, and we'll show mercy as, because you said mercy begets mercy. We thank and praise you today for another day, because your mercies are renewed each morning. And may God have mercy upon every one of us, and lead God and direct us today. May God bless the food, and bless the singing we do today, and bless the study. Let it be fruitful for everyone, and teach us something new that we didn't know. Take away anything that's corrupt out of our minds, hearts, and souls. Fill us only with the truth, Lord and God, and we just thank and praise you. We could be here in this century, the 21st century, and making straight the way of the Lord. And may God bless everyone in Yeshua's name. Amen. Well, here we are in a place called Hole-in-Wall, Tennessee, on Maple Street. That's correct. And there's our phone numbers. There's our email. There's our website. If you ever want to contact me, I'm very available. Today is April 27th in the 2019, in the 21st century. If you're wondering why I say 21st century, because we also had the opportunity to live in the 20th century, but now we're in the 21st century. Anyway, today we use God's calendar that's been deleted from the world. We're in the actual 21st day of Nisan, or Ha'aviv, and it's the last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and that is exactly what the study is, Chag HaMatzot, and it's we're free from leaven, free from the leaven of iniquity. That's what it's supposed to be, and we have been this week, you know, because we didn't go around any leaven, which symbolizes sin, or metaphorically, you know, that's what it's talking about. But anyway, there's the word atzar. It means to hold back. I hope so. To maintain, rule, assemble, keep yourself, you know, keep self close, keep still, refrain, stop, withhold. And then we have atzeret or atzara. That means to assemble, which like we're doing, especially on the holy day. Solemn meeting today. That's why we're here today. It's a solemn meeting. It's a public meeting. And there's the word solemn in all these verses. You can look them up yourself later. And there's the word assembly in all those verses. And there's the word assemblies. And there's the word assemblies. Anyway, a solemn assembly. So you might say, what exactly is that? Well, 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire unto Yehovah. And today's the 8th day, shall be a holy convocation. You shall offer an offering made by fire unto Yehovah, a solemn assembly. You should do no civil work therein. So today we don't do any work, besides being the Sabbath, of course. Sometimes it's not on the Sabbath, but sometimes, you know, but today happens to be on the Sabbath. On the 8th day, you shall have a solemn assembly. You should do no civil work therein. 6 days shall you eat unleavened bread, and on the 7th day shall be a solemn assembly. Of course, the 8th day is also the Feast of Tabernacles. But that's also a solemn assembly. But I'm just giving you some solemn atzeret verses, you know. So we're not doing any work today. And here's one in Chronicles. The 8th day, they made a solemn assembly for the dedication of the altar, Hanukkah. So there's another solemn assembly. And it says they did it 7 days and the feast 7 days. So they did the feast there too. Nehemiah, the reason why I do this, to show you that it's a procession through the whole Bible, that it's constantly being done. Also, day by day, from the first day unto the last day, he read in the book of the Torah of God, and they kept the feast 7 days. And on the eighth day was a solemn assembly according unto the manner. And, you know, this might be the Feast of Tabernacles, but I mean, it's the same thing, solemn assembly. And there's solemnity, in case you don't know what it means. The interesting word, some places for solemnity, it's actually moed and a moedah. And there's what it means. It means a fixed time or a fixed season. By implication, an assembly. Technically, the congregation, by extension, a place of meeting. And all these words have similar, I notice, contexts when you read them. You know, all these words, they're always in the public assembly. They're always a meeting. They're always get-togethers. And it's the reason why we do this is because God commanded us. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here, right? So in Exodus 12, we read 7 days, we ate unleavened bread. And I could tell I ate unleavened bread 7 days. Even the first day, you should put away leaven out of your house, as we did. See, it says your houses. So if you have more than one house, it's your houses. For whosoever eats unleavened bread from the first day unto the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And I think one of the sisters was doing a study this morning on cut off, karat. And I don't know, might be some other words for that too. Anyway. And in the first day, there shall be a holy convocation. And in the seventh day, there shall be a holy convocation to you. And that's what today is. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that every person must eat. That's the only thing that can be done, plain English. And we definitely have utilized that verse because we ate a lot. It says, you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in the selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall you observe this day in the generations by an ordinance forever. And what's more important than, of course, eating, of course, is remembering that God delivered us out of our last lives of sin, and now we're basically, symbolically, trying to live a sinless week, you know, like away from leaven, which is, you know, chamatz, you know, staying away from the leaven. And staying away from iniquity. And in the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at even, we did eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at even. So I've been eating it all day, and I'll eat some more until even. 7 days, we ate no leaven was found in our houses. Whosoever eats that which is leaven, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether you're a stranger or one that's born in the land. You shall eat nothing leavened, and we didn't. In all your habitations shall you eat unleavened bread. So wherever all your habitations, wherever you end up, you can't have any kind of leaven, right? It can't be around leaven. We actually accomplished this, which is sort of amazing. And we learn a little more each year by reading the verses. Leviticus 23, you guys know all about this. It's a feast of the living God, so... When I think of that, I, you know, just sort of a frightening kind of thought that, you know, the concern, these are the feasts of God. God says, these are my feasts. And that's a scary thought. 6 days work shall be done. And he goes right into the Sabbath there. 6 days shall work be done. The seventh day is a Sabbath of rest. It's a Shabbat Shabbaton, a holy convocation, a Mikra Kodesh. Every Sabbath is a holy convocation, a public meeting, a sacred assembly. You should do no work in it. It's the Sabbath of Jehovah and all your dwellings. These are the feasts of Jehovah, even holy convocations, which you shall proclaim in their seasons. And that's exactly what we did. We tried to gauge exactly the correct time of the year and the exact week and day and everything. We try to do as close as we can, you know. And if we do anything wrong, may God have mercy upon us. We try our best to do exactly what's correct according to the new moon and the whole thing. It's really nice. You can really see that it's the new year because all the trees are blooming, all the flowers are blooming, and everything's growing out there, and it's just amazing. It's definitely new year. So on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread unto Yehovah, not unto anyone else. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. So it's a Feast of Unleavened Bread unto God, not unto me or you. It's really an interesting thought. In the first day, you shall have a holy convocation. And then on the seventh day is a holy convocation. That's today. So this is many places in the Bible. Here's the book of Numbers. Jehovah spoke unto Moses, saying, "Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, If any man of you or of your posterity shall be unclean by reason of a dead body or in a journey far off, yet he shall keep the Passover unto Jehovah." So they did it the 14th day of the second month. They kept it and eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. So even that second time that you have an opportunity, if you're unclean, even there it doesn't say have a shank bone or an egg.
No.
So you got like, I mean, seriously, it's got two different places where Judaism, I don't know, they just make stuff up. "They shall leave none of it unto the morning, nor break any bone of it, according to the ordinance of the Passover. They shall keep it." And what that means is the ordinance of the Passover means what's prescribed in Exodus, I think it's 12, exactly what to do. And that gives you the instructions. It's the instructions. Here's Numbers 28. Jehovah spoke unto Moses, saying, "Command the children of Israel, and say unto them, My offerings, my bread for my sacrifice made by fire, for a sweet savor unto me, shall you observe to offer unto me in their due season. And in the 14th day of the first month is, 14th day of the first month is the Passover of Jehovah. And in the 15th day of this month is the feast. 7 days shall unleavened bread be eaten." So you figure this is God commanding everything. In the first day shall be a holy convocation, and in the no manner of work shall be done. But you shall offer a sacrifice made by fire for a burnt offering unto Jehovah, 2 young bullocks, 1 ram, 7 lambs of the first year. They shall be unto you without blemish. I don't know what's happening here with this phone. Somebody want to double check what's going on? Somebody else just texted or something. Okay. Anyway, this is, so they did a lot of offerings there, you know, with animals, and they had the Levitical priesthood, and they had the, you know, they had a lot of things going on there. So I'm not going to read all that to you. But we all know on the seventh day, which today is the seventh day, holy convocation, and then all the way to the end of the Torah. So we went from the beginning of the Torah to the end. So we went many, many years here, because they unfortunately wandered around for 40 years, and here they are. In Deuteronomy, it says, "Observe the month of Ha'aviv, and keep the Passover unto Jehovah thy God. In the month of Ha'aviv, Jehovah thy God brought thee out of the land of Egypt by night." And that's what we do. We remember our last lives of sin. You know, it's something to really ponder, and it's something to higgian. Higgian means like to meditate with song. Or we could just say la without music. "Thou shalt therefore sacrifice the Passover unto Jehovah thy God, and of the flock and of the herd in the place which Jehovah shall choose, the place his name there." And at this moment in time, we believe God has put his name here because we're here and we're gathered together in one accord and one spirit and one God. And I just thank the Lord that he does answer our prayers and he moves too. There's no leavened bread. We all know this. 7 days we ate unleavened bread. And this is on and on. This is to show you that even through the whole Torah up to Deuteronomy, they still did the same exact thing. You're supposed to remember that you came forth out of the land of Egypt, or in our case, out of the last lives of sin. And we make sure there's no leavened bread seen, not eaten, but seen with you in all your coasts 7 days. So these are commands by God. So we discovered that we don't go around restaurants and stores where there's leaven, and we just try to stay pure for a week, which really doesn't hurt. I mean, and it makes you feel pretty good actually. Let's see. So we did all this already. And here's Hezekiah. This was like many years after the Deuteronomy. We have King Hezekiah. He did the Passover. Chapter 30, it says, "Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah and wrote letters unto Ephraim and Manasseh that they should come to the house of Jehovah at Jerusalem," because the temple was still there, "to keep the Passover unto Jehovah, God of Israel." So no matter where they were, they had to show up in Jerusalem, right? For the king had taken counsel and his princes and all the congregation in Jerusalem to keep the Passover in the second month, because they were on some of the people were unclean. But they could not keep it at that time because the priests had not sanctified themselves sufficiently. Neither had the people gathered themselves together to Jerusalem. So at this point in time, you had to go to Jerusalem. No matter where you were on the planet, you had to end up in Jerusalem because the temple was there. And the thing pleased the king and all the congregation. They established a decree to make proclamation throughout all Israel, from Beersheba even unto Dan, and they should come to keep the Passover unto Yehovah, God of Israel, at Jerusalem. For they had not done it in of a long time in such sort as it is written, which is pretty sad. You know, it's pretty sad. I don't know the time from Deuteronomy to Hezekiah, but I guess we can calculate that. So the post went with the letters from the king and his princes throughout all Israel and Judah, and according to the commandment of the king, saying, "You children of Israel, turn again unto Jehovah, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and he will return to the remnant of you that are escaped out of the land of the king of Assyria." That's a pretty nice message. It says, "And be not like your fathers and like your brethren who trespass against Jehovah God of their fathers, who therefore gave them up to desolation, as you see. Now be not stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourself unto Jehovah, and enter into his sanctuary, which he had sanctified forever, and serve Jehovah your God, that the fierceness of his wrath may turn away from you." And that would be a fantastic test. Just do what God says and see what happens to you. Things might just go well, huh? Things might go good with you. "And if you turn again unto Jehovah, your God, unto Jehovah, your brethren and your children shall find compassion before them that lead them captive, so that they shall come again into the land. For Jehovah your God is gracious and merciful, and will not turn away his face from you if you return unto him." So if you do these things, just think, if you have an evil boss and they won't let you off, according to this, God will turn their heart to you. He could just turn their heart, say, "Oh yeah, go ahead, take it off. Go." That's the way God is. See, like, I mean, if he could do this to these guys, what's a boss? So the post passed, but you got to believe that. But the post passed from city to city through the country of Ephraim and Manasseh, even unto Zebulun. But they, check this out, these weasels laughed them to scorn and mocked them. That's how far they've fallen away from God so much that they actually made fun of the whole thing. Ephraim and Manasseh unto Zebulun. "Nevertheless, divers different lot of people from Asher and Manasseh and of Zebulun humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem." There's always people that just forsake God and they try to get followers. You know, you got to watch out for that. And in Judah, the hand of God was to give them one heart to do the commandment of the king and of the princes by the word of Jehovah. And there assembled at Jerusalem much people to keep the feast of unleavened bread in the second month, a very great congregation. So this thing, they had to leave everything they were doing and come to Jerusalem and keep the feast of unleavened bread all together as a single unit. You know, that's the way God is. "And they arose and took away the altars that were in Jerusalem." That's all the bad ones. "And all the altars for incense took they away and cast them into the brook Kidron." That's one place I never want to go. You ever notice all the idols and everything are grind to powder in Kidron? "Then they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the second month," which is Ziph, "and the priests and the Levites were ashamed." They were ashamed and sanctified themselves and brought in the burnt offerings into the house of Jehovah. "And they stood in their place after their manner, according to the Torah of Moses, the man of God. The priests sprinkled the blood which they had received of the hand of the Levites." Amen. "For there was many in the congregation that were not sanctified. Therefore, the Levites had the charge of the killing of the Passover for every one that was not clean, to sanctify them unto Jehovah." Talk about working out there. "For the multitude of the people, even many of Ephraim and Manasseh, Issachar and Zebulun, had not cleansed themselves, yet did they eat the Passover otherwise than it was written. But Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, "The good Yehovah pardon everyone that prepares his heart to seek God, Jehovah God of his fathers, though he be not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary." So in other words, take away the physical and do the spiritual from the heart, Father. Forgive them. And Jehovah hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people. Yeah. And the children of Israel that were present at Jerusalem kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with great gladness. That's what's supposed to be, great gladness at yours. It was been, yeah. This has been a happy feast of unleavened bread for me. Hope it was for you too. And the Levites and the priests praised Jehovah day by day. We did that. We sang with loud instruments and unto Jehovah sometimes. Need some cymbals. And Hezekiah spoke comfortably unto all the Levites and taught them the good knowledge of Jehovah. And they did eat throughout. They ate throughout the feast 7 days, like us. Offering peace offerings and making confession to Jehovah God of their fathers. You know, I always ask God to cover us in his blood, and that's the way I make an offering and ask God to cover us. And the whole assembly took counsel to keep, check this out, and the whole assembly took counsel to keep other 7 days and keep the, and they kept other 7 days with gladness. They actually went, they thought, well, God, this is so great. Let's do it again. So imagine that. They left their, whatever they were doing, their jobs, their work, their everything, and they came to Jerusalem. They left their whole lives back wherever they came from, and they went to Jerusalem for 2 weeks. Because they already know God is going to take care of everything, no matter what happens. And Hezekiah, king of Judah, did give to the congregation, he happened to have on hand 1,000 bullocks and 7,000 sheep. He just happened to have some. And the princes gave to the congregation 1,000 bullocks and 10,000 sheep, and a great number of priests sanctified themselves. Now, when I read that, I'm thinking about the large numbers of animals, but I also think about the land it has to be on, and then and how they have to be fed and kept and maintained, and you know, you have to know which one is the firstborn and which is the clean one and which is the, you know, I don't know if they put tags on them. I don't know how they did it. Firstborn, clean, you know. And all the congregation of Judah with the priests and the Levites and all the congregation that came out of Israel and the strangers that came out of the land of Egypt, of Israel, and that dwelt in Judah rejoiced. Amen. So there was great joy in Jerusalem. For since the time of Solomon, which is really strange, the son of David, king of Israel, there was not the like in Jerusalem. That's sad. So after Solomon, all the kings from after Solomon, like Rehoboam until Hezekiah, boy, they didn't, as you know, all the kings of Israel were evil. Then the priests, the Levites, arose and blessed the people, and their voices were heard, and their prayer came up into his holy dwelling place, even unto heaven. Hallelujah. I love that. Just think, when you actually pray, your prayers go right up into the kingdom of heaven. God actually hears you. That's just wonderful to think of. So here we have another person, another king, Josiah. He actually did this too. I mean, they could have just said, well, that's done in the past. That was Exodus. No, they did it too. Moreover, Josiah kept the Passover unto Yehovah in Jerusalem, and they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the month. What do you think of that? And they read the book, right? And he set the priests in their charges and encouraged them to the service of the house of Yehovah, and said unto the Levites that taught all Israel, the Levites were the teachers, which were holy unto Yehovah, put the holy ark in the house which Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, did build. It shall not be a burden upon your shoulders. Serve now Yehovah your God and his people Israel. And prepare yourselves by the houses of your fathers, after your courses, according to the writing of David, king of Israel, and according to the writing of Solomon, his son. And stand in the holy place according to the divisions of the families of the fathers of your brethren, the people, and after the divisions of the families of the Levites. So they kill the Passover and sanctify themselves and prepare your brethren that they may do according to the word of Yehovah by the hand of Moses. Josiah gave to the people of the flocks and lambs and kids all for the Passover offerings and for all that were present. So Josiah the king must have had plenty. It says to the number of 30,000 and 3,000 bullocks, they were of the king's substance. 30,000, 33,000 bullocks. I don't even know what that means. Looks like. And the princes gave willingly. People just gave willingly. It says, and the princes gave willingly unto the people, to the priests and to the Levites, Hilkiah and Zechariah and Yehaliel, rulers of the house of God, gave unto the priests for the Passover offerings 2,600 small cattle and 300 oxen. Then we have Cornaiah also, and Shemaiah, and Nethaneel, his brethren, Hashabiah, and Yael, and Jozabad, chief of the Levites, gave unto the Levites the Passover offerings 5,000 small cattle and 500 oxen. I don't even know. Imagine all this assembled. Where would they assemble it? A giant place. So the service was prepared, and the priests stood in their place, and the Levites in their courses, according to the king's commandment. And they killed the Passover, and the priests sprinkled the blood from their hands, and the Levites flayed them. That's a lot of flaying. And they removed the burnt offerings that they might give according to the divisions of the families of the people to offer unto Yehovah, as it is written in the book of Moses. So did they with the oxen. Boy, it must have been a big, beautiful smell. And they roasted. Imagine all the roasting of the Passover with fire according to the ordinance. But the other holy offerings, sod they in pots and in cauldrons and in pans, and divided them speedily among the people. And afterward they made ready for themselves and for the priests, because the priests, the sons of Aaron, were busy in offering of the burnt offerings and fat until night. Therefore the Levites prepared for themselves and for the priests, the sons of Aaron. So there was so many things going on. Just think of all the activity that was going on there. I mean, just think of the little things that we do here and the little cooking you did in your house. It's peanuts compared to this. I mean, there's nothing, no comparison. And the singers, the sons of Asaph, so those were the singers, the sons of Asaph, were in their place according to the commandment of David, and Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun, the king's seer, and the porters waited at every gate that they might not depart from their service, for their brethren, the Levites, prepared for them. They're just ready to sing, I guess. So all the service of Yehovah was prepared the same day to keep the Passover and to offer burnt offerings unto the altar of Yehovah according to the commandment of King Josiah. And of course, it's really from the commandment of God. And the children of Israel that were present kept the Passover at that time and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. 7 days they did it. They didn't do anything else. They didn't go anywhere else. They didn't go to work. They were there. And there was no Passover like to the that kept in Israel from the days of Samuel. The other one, it's like these two guys. This one says, from the days of Samuel the prophet, neither did all the kings of Israel keep such a Passover as Josiah kept. And the priests, the Levites, and all Judah and Israel that were present, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. So this one goes back to Samuel. That's amazing. That's even before the first book of Kings. So you could see the people that did it really went out of their way. And then the people that didn't do it, there's way more of those people. And in the 18th year of the reign of Josiah was the Passover kept. After all this, when Josiah had prepared the temple, Necho, king of Egypt, came up to fight against Carchemish by the Ephrathites. And Josiah went out with him. I don't like to read this part because he ends up getting killed. But But you can see Josiah really kept everything, right? He did everything. I'm going to pass that up right here because I don't want to read that right now. Jeremiah lamented. Jeremiah was there. Jeremiah lamented for Josiah and for all the singing men and singing women spoke of Josiah in their lamentation to this day and made them an ordinance in Israel. And behold, they are written in the Lamentations. So if you read the Lamentations of Jeremiah, a lot of those are songs, believe it or not. So Jeremiah was there. Isn't that interesting? Huh? Yeah. Now the rest of the acts of Josiah and his goodness, according to that was written in the law of Yehovah, and his deeds, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. So, after that, we go to the end of the captivity, and Ezra and Nehemiah show up. So, this is during the second temple, when the second temple was finished. The children of the captivity kept the Passover. And the elders of the Jews built it and prospered through the prophesying of Haggai and Zechariah. And they built it and finished it according to the commandment of God of Israel, really, who God commanded, of course, Cyrus, Darius, and Artaxerxes, okay? And they actually finished it according to Darius right there. See what it says right there? In the sixth year, the reign of Darius, the house was finished in the third month, the third day of the month Adar, which is the 12th month. And the children of Israel... And they kept the Hanukkah. See the word dedication?
Yep.
That's actually Hanukkah. So that's where Hanukkah comes from. So I'm going to pass that up. And these people, they did the same thing. They set the priests in their divisions and the Levites in their courses. I noticed the priests are in divisions and the Levites are in the courses for the service of God, which is at Jerusalem, as is written in the book of Moses. And the children of the captivity kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. So they did it. The priests and the Levites were purified together. All of them were pure and killed the Passover for all the children of the captivity and for their brethren, the priests, and for themselves. And the children of Israel, which were come again out of the captivity, and all such as had separated themselves from the filthiness of the heathen of the land, seek the Lord God of Israel did eat. Amen. That's what we do. And they kept the Feast of Unleavened Bread 7 days. Nobody did anything else except it was just the Feast of Unleavened Bread with joy. And Jehovah made them joyful and turned the heart of the king of Assyria. Check this out. When you do that, God turns the heart of the king of Assyria unto them. That's the one who took them captive.
Yeah.
And now he's turning it unto them to strengthen the hands in the work of the house of God and the king of Israel, the God of Israel. So God, I mean, if God can do that to wicked kings that take you captive, what can he do to your little boss? I mean, you know. Ezekiel, brother Ezekiel was there in the captivity too. He said, thus saith Jehovah, in the first month, in the first day of the month, thou shalt take a young bullock without blemish, and cleanse the sanctuary. And the priest shall take of the blood of the sin offering and put it upon the posts of the door and upon the posts of the house and upon the four corners of the settle of the altar and upon the posts of the gate of the inner court. And so thou shalt do the seventh day of the month for everyone that errs and for him that is simple. So shall you reconcile the house. And in the first month, in the 14th day of the month, ye shall, this is just like the Gospels, I noticed. It says, in the first month, in the 14th day of the month, ye shall have the Passover, a feast of 7 days. Notice how it says that? It says a Passover, a feast of 7 days, just like it says in the Gospels. Unleavened bread shall be eaten. So they right here, he connected the Passover and the unleavened bread too, just like they do in the Gospels. You follow what I'm saying? This is in Ezekiel chapter 45, verse 21. Look that up. That shows you that's just like the Gospels. And upon that day did the prince prepare for himself and for all the people of the land a bullock for a sin offering. And 7 days, and the The 7 days of the feast he shall prepare a burnt offering to Yehovah, 7 bullocks, 7 rams without blemish, daily, the 7 days, and a kid of the goats daily for a sin offering. Anyway, so you see what we're doing like they did, and it goes all the way through the Gospels and everything, of course. Yeshua's parents went to Jerusalem too, just like they, notice how everybody else in the Tanakh went to Jerusalem. So here we have in the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, Yeshua got, his parents went every year to the Feast of the Passover in Jerusalem. And they did that because the temple was there. And that's where everyone gathered. It was like a really assembly, a real tzedet, a real, you know, sacred assembly. They're all there. Of course, today there's nothing there. There's just a bunch of people doing the wrong thing in Israel. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, the 7 days, they returned, of course. Custom there means manner according to the divine laws in Torah. So another reminder. So anyway, I just wanted to make sure you got all those verses. So that's the end of the study for today. It's not a long study because it's the, you know, it's there's not a lot to say about it, but just us being here present and doing it is a lot to God. So another reminder of the 2019 Spring Feast and Holy Days, there's only one left, which is the first, well, tomorrow we're going to be gathering for the first fruits, Resurrection Day, and, you know, whatever time allows, we can do that before people take off. And then, of course, after that, after tomorrow, after we acknowledge the Feast of the First Fruits tomorrow, we're just going to do that, then everybody can take off. Just remember, 50 days from tomorrow, we start counting 7 Sabbaths, right? And 50 days later will be, of course, Feast of Weeks, known as Pentecost, right? And that's June 6th. June 16th. And that's Hag Shavuot, right? June 16th. So, in closing, I hope to see you tomorrow for a short time for the resurrection of Yeshua, our first fruits. Lord willing, we hope to see you tomorrow. May God bless you today and hope you got something out of this. This is to show you that they did everything in the Torah. They did everything through the kings, or some people did it through the kings. They did it through the captivity when they got taken captive. And then they did it after the captivity. And then they did it in the Gospels. And then they did it in the letters. And now we're doing it today. So we're continuing. We actually are continuing on as much as we're supposed to do. So isn't that beautiful? I mean, I guess there's somebody maybe invisibly writing this all down, that we're continuing on. We're trying our best, you know. So anyway, I thank you for being here today. I'm going to stop that. And I say, well, may God bless you today. May God bless the food we eat. May God bless the singing we do. And may God bless the rest of the Sabbath and the last day of Feast of Unleavened Bread. And may God gather us together tomorrow for the resurrection of Yeshua, spiritually speaking. And he is our first fruits. And may God always comfort you and give you understanding and wisdom and discernment and this, everything we need, the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of knowledge. And may God always guide us. And may God bless you today. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. I will stop the video. Stop this right here.